And I want to remind you, because, you know, y'all need reminding, remember? You know, last week's service on Wednesday night, it was an all-timer. And what I mean by that is, you know, there was a move of God, and God wanted to break some yokes off people. And it was just amazing how many people came forward that, the way the Holy Ghost described it, was like there was a ceiling over you, where you, no matter how hard you try, no matter what you're doing, you just keep hitting the top of that and falling down, hitting the top of that and just can't get past it. I couldn't believe how many people came up. Well, I know the devil's been active, you know, because there's things we're moving into, you know. The prophet declared it on a Sunday morning. And so, you know, it was so wonderful to see the anointing break that off people. But I've had so many testimonies of people telling me that since that service they noticed a change, that things were different. And the Holy Ghost further instructed us that the devil's going to try to put it back on you. And, you know, I was just thinking of that song as we were praising. I was like, you know, if you could take, because there's one thing to be a praiser in church with everybody and singing along, and that's what we do, you know. But it's where the rubber meets the road, and we need the corporate anointing. We need the corporate praise to usher in the anointing. You need to bring that anointing to your home. And if you'll worship God like that, and just kind of lose yourself in worship and focus on Him, when you're feeling oppressed, you know, the Bible says that the garment of praise is for that spirit. It's actually a weapon. It's actually an answer to that thing that the devil puts on you. And the thing that you have to get over and understand is that it's not anything it's ever going to feel like doing. The last thing you feel like doing when you're being oppressed and down is to praise, but it's your answer. And so I just encourage you to stir it up at home and just sing the songs we sing here and focus on Him. And just watch things begin to lift. Watch joy set in. Watch answers start to come. Amen? Hallelujah. Well, are you ready for tonight? Praise God. I know you are. That's why you're here. And so let's go to Matthew chapter 10 and verse 41, and then we'll pray. Hallelujah. I am so proud of this church. Just love this church. You guys, you're just knocking it out of the park. Praise God. And you know what? I'm excited. I just am going to say and believe that, you know, usually in guest minister meetings, you see attendance drop off. Man, I just hope we've been pumping you up enough to make the effort to be here. Because there is some good things to come. And, you know, unfortunately, these meetings will come and go. And some people's lives will stay the same. And some people will not receive what God wants for them because they didn't avail themselves to it. You know, they didn't make the sacrifice. But let's not be one of those people. I believe we're going to get something. Praise God. Well, Father, help us tonight, Lord. This is in preparation as I was waiting on You today. This is the direction You took me. So, Father, we're going to obey that. And it'll help us to receive more this weekend and what's to come, not only in these meetings, but in other meetings. So, Father, give us utterance tonight, boldness. May I speak as the oracles of God. That means, Lord, when I open my mouth, I trust You to fill it. Boy, if I try to stand up here and say anything without Your help and the anointing, Lord, I'm going to stumble around and fumble around and not know what to do. But Father, we thank You. You're in this tonight. We thank You. This is Your plan. So Father, we thank You. Your help will be given. The anointing will be here. Spirit, give us ears to hear what You're saying to us tonight. And so Father, I thank You for impartations, revelations, corrections, encouragement, whatever we need, Father. Just be God. Just be God. We love You and praise You in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, Matthew chapter 10 and verse 41 says this: He that receives a prophet in the name of a prophet shall receive a prophet's reward. And we can look at the rest of it, but we're talking about the prophets because we have a couple prophets that are coming in here. And Pastor Nancy stands in that office as well. And Reverend Greer stands in that office. And Pastor Scott Webb stands in that office. And my mentor and my spiritual dad stands in that office. And so that's why we're going to talk about it, but it's in preparation for this coming weekend because the Bible says that there's a reward attached to the prophet's life. Amen. But it says he that receives. So there's a reward, but we have a part to play in receiving that reward. Amen? And so I want to help us because I'll tell you what, if there's a reward to be had, I want it. I want it because it'll bless us and help us. So we're going to take a quick look at this office. I believe in the future on a Wednesday night, maybe we'll look at all the ministry gifts in detail. I've not been led to do that yet. And tonight certainly is not going to be an exhaustive study on the prophet's office, but just what the highlights that the Holy Ghost pointed out for me to share tonight and to share a few stories concerning the prophet's office, but also specifically their office to even get you more ramped up and amped up and pumped up, because we have gifts from God coming in. Praise God. So the Bible says if we receive the prophet, name prophet, we'll receive a prophet reward. The first thing I want you to see and a little bit teach you here at first, and we'll get into some things, but are there prophets in today's day and age? And, you know, you hear me say that they're prophets and things, and I know a lot of times people just take me at their word, but we're, how many of you know we're biblical around here? But there's a lot of churches, and when I mean churches, I'm talking about born-again believers, Christians, that do not believe that the prophet's office exists today or that the apostles' office exists today. They, you know, we talk about the five ministry gifts, and we'll look at those in a second. They believe that just the teacher, the evangelist, and the pastor are still for today, and that's rampant through the body of Christ. There's places that stopped letting Dr. Dufresne go there. There's places that some of these ministers would never be able to minister in churches because they don't receive that gift. They don't believe in that gift. They think we're crazy. Well, I think people that don't follow the Bible are crazy ones. We're not the crazy ones. We're crazy for Jesus, but we're not crazy insane. You're insane if you don't follow the Bible. That's what I think, anyways. And so let's take a look real quick at Ephesians chapter 4 and verse 11 to see if there's New Testament prophets and what that is. And we've been looking at Ephesians chapter 4 with talking about the gift of the pastor and looking at the other gifts and knowing that they're there to perfect us, to help us. But if you remember in verse 8, the Bible says, "For Jesus ascended on high, he gave gifts unto men." So now we're in verse 11, he talks about those gifts. But you know what? One thing I always see when I read this is how much he loves us, and really how, I was just talking to someone last night, and I asked that person, I said, you know, I'm not trying to assume anything, but would you look at me as your pastor? They said, absolutely. And I said, well, then you understand what I'm saying. I'm not trying to magnify me, but since you've availed yourself to that office, has life been different? He said, oh, yeah, I mean, absolutely. Well, I know, for me as well, you know. And so when God gives gifts to men, it's to bless us and to bring us up higher and to help us in life. And so I just think it's so neat to put an emphasis on how important these gifts are, that the first thing that Jesus did when he went up was he gave gifts, and the gifts were these ministry offices. There's such a lack of revelation in the body of Christ in these offices, because there's a lot of lack of revelation of what these offices can even do and what these offices are supposed to do. And so we're not going to be ignorant around here. And so it says he gave. Now look what he gave. Jesus left and he gave these things. Now it's interesting. And the Bible says he gave some to be apostles. Some people will be prophets. Some will be evangelists. Some will be pastors and teachers. Now what's interesting, without even looking at the rest of the verses that will prove that we still have these gifts, is if he gave them at this time, when he gave them, that was New Testament time. Jesus has died and rose again. We're now in the New Covenant, the New Testament. And so, if he gave these gifts to people, and good gifts come from him, and gifts are meant to bless us and help us, which the next verses will tell us that, how are people so deceived that they would say, you know what, I really believe, because first of all, there's nothing scriptural or biblical that says the prophet's office does not exist today. That's what you find a lot of times with these people that are naysayers. They don't have scripture. They have feelings and they have traditions. And they have our own ideas, but they don't have scripture that back it up. And because there's nothing in the New Testament that says the prophet's office is null and void now. But my thought would be, well, if it did at some point fizzle out like a shooting star, and it's there, and they're firework, and it's there, and it's gone no more. Why did God find those people that were his children to be more special than us in this day and age? Why would he give them a gift and not give us a gift? Doesn't even make sense. Because he's just as much father to them as he's father to us. Amen. And we always know, he used the example, Caleb and Abby. Now, someone did point out that whenever I talk about the one child coming in with dirt and being holes in their clothes and not taken care of, it's always Abby. Yeah. I don't know why. Probably because she gives us the most trouble. Wait, what? Out of the two, that's what I just think. You know, I joke around about her, but I'll tell you what, I wouldn't change anything about her. Any bit about her attitude and her little spunk. I mean, we gotta work a little harder and work to guide that the right way, but I don't want her to change at all. I dare the boys to bring it on. Woo-wee, she's going to handle it. It's going to be all right. Praise God. And so why would he give them a gift and not us a gift? Doesn't even make sense. But then he proves it right here in the Bible. He says he gave these gifts, prophet included, for the perfecting of the saints. Well, let me ask you a question. Are we perfect yet?
No.
No. He says he gives it for the work of the ministry. Let me ask you, is there still work to be done in the ministry? Yes. And then he says, for the edifying of the body of Christ. Does the body of Christ still need edifying? Yes. Then they need these gifts. These gifts did not pass away. These gifts are not here just because people are ignorant. You know, usually what people aren't up on, they're down on. What do I mean? If it's foreign to them, they're not sure, they've not been around it. Our initial reaction is to judge, to criticize, to say it's wrong, to, you know, that's not the way I was taught, that's not how I grew up. Well, maybe you grew up wrong. You ever think maybe you were taught wrong? We see here the prophet's office are still in manifestation, and we need them. And the Bible says we'll need them until verse 13. Till, or until we all come in the unity of the faith. Do you know when that day is going to be? It'll never be here on the earth. Why? The Baptists are never going to believe what we believe. That's not me coming down on the Baptists. I came from the Methodists. The Methodist church are not going to believe like we believe. Rich is laughing because he knows. He knows. You know, the Catholics, different denominations, they believe different. And the body of Christ to be fully in unity is only going to happen when Jesus comes back. And we see him as he is and we know him as he is. Then we're all going to realize where we were wrong and our little pet doctrines and all these things. And then we'll all be unified, but that will not happen until Jesus comes back. I just know there's Christians that will never believe like I believe. Never believe in tongues. Never believe in following the Holy Ghost. Never believe in tithing. Never believe in the faith, word of faith. It just won't happen. And so that's not till Jesus. It's evidently they're here to be a blessing until Jesus comes back and the knowledge of the Son of God unto a perfect man, under the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ. Not going to happen until Jesus comes back. So we need these things. Praise God. We're working towards that. And we want to get better and better and grow and grow. But we'll never get to the fullness of Christ until he comes back. Because we're in a human body. But how many of you know we should be growing more than we were last year? We should be in a different place than we were 5 years ago. Praise God. Hallelujah. So there are prophets in today's time. The Bible clearly says that. Now, what is a biblical prophet? And what I mean by that is what equipment, and when I say equipment, I mean anointing gifts on their life. So let's look at that. But if you look up that word prophet in the Greek, and if you really study some Greek scholars and you look at some things in concordance, what the prophet seems to do that stands out is they speak by sudden inspiration. A lot of times you'll hear the prophets come out and talk and say they didn't have anything to come share, and the Lord just gave them a scripture and they just go from there, and they speak by sudden inspiration. That's the prophet's office in manifestation. And so they speak by sudden inspiration. Again, this is not an exhaustive look at their office. It's just what was highlighted in my spirit to share with you. The first thing you need to know and understand, and I feel the need to say this, this is why we're saying this, is that a prophet, because how many of you know there's lots of people claiming to be prophets? You know, you don't just wake up one day and decide, I'm a prophet. The Bible says God gave gifts unto men. The prophet's office is a full-time, just like people that say they're pastors and they don't have a flock. Do you know that youth pastor and worship pastor, those are just man-made terms? Because a pastor is a shepherd, and a shepherd has sheep. Not to belittle or be down on anybody, but you know, I've had people come in here to me and tell me, well, I want you to know I'm a pastor too. Oh, where's your church? Well, I don't have a church. You can't just decide I'm a pastor, I'm a prophet. And a lot of people get confused by that. But the first thing, and again, we don't have time to look in detail at this. We will another time, I promise you. Is that they are a preacher and teacher of the word, a minister of the gospel, separated and called to full-time ministry. God gave these. That's what you read and you study in the word. And different things that Brother Hagin, the Lord talked to Brother Hagin, I believe it was in a vision in 1959, talked to him in detail about the prophet's office. And of course, Jesus had, you know, what I love about Brother Hagin's visions and revelations is that one time Jesus told Brother Hagin something. Because we talk about him a lot, and people get the wrong idea if you have the wrong spirit. They think, oh, you're worshiping the man. You're hero worshiping. No. If the man didn't have the revelation of the word, I wouldn't want nothing to do with the man. Amen. Thank God for the man that was faithful. But Jesus appeared to him one time and gave him a revelation on demons and demonic possession and told him some things that rubbed Brother Hagin's doctrine the wrong way. And he couldn't accept it. He said, Jesus, he said, I know you're standing right here in front of me, and I see you as much as I see my hand in front of my face. But you're going to have to give me scripture to back up. The Bible says out of the mouth of two or three witnesses let every word establish. I'm going to need at least two or three witnesses on what you're telling me. And Jesus smiled at him and said, I'll do you one better and give you four. And gave him scripture. And so dreams, visions, revelations, prophets, all these things are backed up by the word of God. And you see that they're ministry gifts. They're called to minister. Now, this is what you have to understand is that a layman, what's a layman? Someone that's not in full-time ministry, can prophesy. You all can prophesy. Amen? But just because you prophesy doesn't mean you're a prophet. Amen? And just because somebody prophesies doesn't mean they're a prophet. Hallelujah. You need to know that. I don't know why that needs to be said, but it needs to be said because as I was meditating and I was going over these things about the prophet's office, in my natural mind I was going to skim over these things, but for some reason the Holy Ghost said it needs to be shared. So somebody needs to hear this tonight. 1 Corinthians 14. None of you all, I hope none of you are running around thinking you're a prophet. If God calls you to it, fine and dandy, but don't just come up with it on your own. But I don't know if that's the case or why we need to hear it. Maybe he just wants to teach it. But look at 1 Corinthians 14 and verse 1. Now this is a letter to the church at Corinth. Not ministers. Laymen. Sheep. What's he say? Follow after charity and desire spiritual gifts, but rather that you prophesy. What's he saying? Desire to prophesy. Amen? Desire to prophesy. He's telling the whole church, desire to prophesy. And then he says, for he that speaketh in an unknown tongue speaks not unto men, but unto God, for no man understands him, howbeit in the spirit he speaks mysteries. See, you speak in tongues to somebody doesn't do them any good. Does you good, doesn't do them any good. Prophesying, that's what helps people. Right? Tongues, majority of tongues is meant for your private prayer life. To build yourself up, pray out the plan of God, pray out the mysteries of God. There is a ministry side of tongues, but it doesn't leave the people confused and bewildered. Amen? There's diverse kinds of tongues, and there's tongues in interpretation where it gets interpreted, things like that. But he says here, but he, verse 3, that prophesies, now he's going to tell you what prophecy is, because prophesying, we think, at times means telling the future. That's not the simple gift of prophecy. The simple gift of prophecy is defined here in verse 3. He that prophesies speaks unto men edification, exhortation, and comfort. That's what people need. Edification, exhortation, and comfort. And when you prophesy, for example, you could be standing in the foyer. Somebody walks in, you can tell there's just something up with them. You know, they're just not doing too well. And maybe like you should be a loving person and reach out to them and love on them. And maybe they open up and they tell you. And then all of a sudden, words come to you. And just bubbles up on the inside. And you start speaking unto them edification, exhortation, and you're comforting them with your words. You've now entered into one of the spiritual gifts, prophecy. Amen. But it doesn't make you a prophet. Amen. In fact, what does it say in 1 Corinthians 12 and verse 27? It says, 1 Corinthians 12 and 27, now you, talking about the church at Corinth, are the body of Christ and members in particular, and God has set some in the church, some, first apostles, secondarily prophets, thirdly teachers, after that miracles, gifts of healings, helps, governments, diversities, tongues. And look what he says in verse 29, are all apostles? The obvious answer is no. He just said he set some. But then he says, are all prophets? So he tells the whole church, you can desire to prophesy, but he says, even if the whole church desires to prophesy and walks into prophecy, doesn't make you a prophet, because all are not prophets. God calls certain ones. And he gave gifts. Praise God. And look at verse 20, 28. And God set some in the church. Some. Everybody say some. It's his plan. You know, there was a minister. I'll just use his name because he tells it publicly. Pastor Brad Hofert, the associate pastor of the Jamestown Family Church. He came out of the fruity, the flaky, and the nutty camp. And that's true. And some of the stories he tells, oh man, are they funny. But they had a thing called School of the Prophets, where you would sign up and pay a certain amount of money to go learn how to be a prophet. Listen, this ain't like dentistry or welding school. I'm going to sign up, pay my money, and go learn how to be a prophet. No, God gave gifts unto men. They're called of Him, amen? And they have things in their life that, you know, I've already mentioned them. A pastor will have a flock, amen? A prophet will be in full-time ministry, praise God. There's more, but we don't have time to look at all those. Now, talking about what a prophet is and what equipment they have, because now we're going to start getting into what we're looking for and expecting. They'll have two, if you go to 1 Corinthians chapter 12, they'll have two of the three revelation gifts operating in their ministry on a consistent basis. You say, what is that? Well, go to 1 Corinthians chapter 12, and let's go to verse 8. He talks about the different nine gifts of the Spirit. He says, to one is given by the Spirit the word of wisdom. Now in these nine gifts, they're broken into three categories. The category we're going to look at tonight is the revelation gifts. He says, the one is given the word of wisdom. What is the word of wisdom? Well, without taking time to show you all in the word, I'll just give you the definition. And sometime when we look at it in detail, we'll prove that by the Bible. But a word of wisdom is a revelation from the Holy Ghost. Now, I want you to think about this, because the prophet's office have this in operation, and we're about to have some prophets in October. Amen. And think about how that could bless your life. Yeah. And bless your future going forward. Listen to what the word of wisdom is. Because remember what Pastor Mike said, the prophet will have two of the three operating in a consistent basis in their life. At least two. Some have all three. It says, for one is given the word of wisdom. Now, the word of wisdom is a revelation from the Holy Ghost concerning the divine purpose in the mind and will of God concerning the future. So when a word of wisdom is given out, that's God revealing to whoever's operating in this word of wisdom. And even you can operate in the word of wisdom. But it doesn't make you a prophet. But you don't have to be a prophet to operate in these gifts. But a prophet will operate in these gifts. They'll have a platform to do it, and they'll have it in a more frequent basis than we will in our lives, because it's part of their equipment. And so that's when the Holy Ghost from heaven gives a prophet something on sudden inspiration, and they speak that forth. And what they're speaking is the mind and purpose of God, the will of God, what God thinks about something, what God knows about something concerning future events. How much would that benefit you to hear a prophet say or speak or use the gift of a word of wisdom that tells you something about your future? Aren't people paying big bucks to get their future told? Amen, it's true. So that's what a word of wisdom is. And then he says in verse 9, or rest of verse 8, one is given by the Spirit the word of wisdom, to another the word of knowledge. Well, what's the word of knowledge? That's the second one of the revelation gifts. The word of knowledge is this, a supernatural revelation by the Spirit of God of facts in the mind of God concerning people, places, or things, concerning the present tense or the past tense. So the word of wisdom is for future events. The word of knowledge is a supernatural revelation of what? Of facts in the mind of God concerning people, places, or things having to do with present or past tense. Now, we saw that in operation last Wednesday. If you remember, when what got the ball rolling was Pastor Mike got a word of knowledge. She wasn't able to be here tonight. She's celebrating her, I believe it's her 20th anniversary. Amy is not with us tonight, and she let me know. So, Amy, if you're listening, have a great night. Congratulations. We miss you, though. But last week, Remember, she was sitting over there, and I've only met her one time and said hi to her a couple times and don't know anything about her life. But remember, I said, Amy, can I minister to you? She came forward, and I said, the Lord told me, and I made sure you knew, I didn't know anything about her, that the Lord told me that he wants to turn something around in your life. And I said to her, and when I said those words, the smile that came over her face, and I thought, okay, I didn't miss it. Because when you minister these things, there's an element of the natural man. It's good for me to point that out because when word of wisdom or prophecy or a word of knowledge goes forth, sometimes you might hear the man stumble, stutter a little bit, slip up on a word. God's perfect, the vessel's not. If you were to run water through a pipe that was rusty, the water's pure, but it's going to pick up some of that stuff coming through the pipe, right? I wish I could take credit for that. That's Brother Hagin gave that example. But it's good, right? But the next time I say it, I'm not giving him credit. We're just going to pretend it was from me. So if there's new people, you don't tell them that that wasn't Pastor Mike. Just let them believe how wonderful I am. Deal? Okay, good. I'll praise God. So when you hear those things, don't get tripped up and say, you know, even in the word Pastor Michael gave me, it bears witness with my spirit. And that's another thing, and we're getting into some things. We're not led by prophets. The Bible doesn't tell us to be led by prophets. We're led by the Holy Ghost. When somebody speaks something over you or something about you, if it doesn't bear witness with your spirit, put it on the shelf. Put it on the shelf. Amen? Because that we're not led by the prophet's office. We're blessed by it. It can confirm some things and help us with some things, but we're not led. But anyways, even Pastor Michael's word that he said to me, there were some words that he didn't fully articulate. Well, that's just because it's coming through a man. So don't think, oh, no, that can't be God. No, because I understand what it's like to be using these gifts on a public level. When I get a word about a woman that I don't know anything about, never ministered to her, don't even know she's going to want to come forward in front of people, there's an element of faith where I got to step out on that and believe that I know what I'm doing and I'm hearing from heaven. So there's a man side of things. And so, but anyways, she came forward and I said to her, I said, does that mean anything to you? She closed her eyes and smiled and shook her head. So I knew the Holy Ghost was hitting the mark. But what was that? God wants to turn something around in her life that meant something to her, that blessed her, that confirmed he's on it. That's a word of knowledge. I didn't know that, but God did, and he revealed it to me. Praise God. Or when God says something in the future, it's a word of wisdom. So that's the second one of them. And then go down to verse 10. It says, to another, the working of miracles. That's part of the power gift. Another prophecy, there are three categories: revelation gifts, power gifts, and the vocal gifts. It says, to another the working of miracles, that's power gift. To another prophecy, that's would be a vocal gift. But then to another, the discerning of spirits. Now, the discerning of spirits is the third in the revelation gifts. So we have word of knowledge, word of wisdom, and the discerning of spirits. And a prophet will have two at least operating in their ministry. And what is the discerning of spirits? The discerning of spirits is this. It doesn't mean you can discern somebody. That I'm good at discerning how people are. That's not what it's talking about. I've had people actually say to me, I operate in the gift of discerning spirits. I say, what do you mean? I say, well, when I get around people, I just sense some things about them. That doesn't mean you're operating the discerning of spirits at all. And or they'll say, I have a word of knowledge. That means I'm smart and I have knowledge. That's not what a word of knowledge is. It's a word given from God of supernatural knowledge, supernatural wisdom. Praise God. And so, what is discerning spirits? It's supernatural insight into the realm of the spirit, seeing and hearing into the spirit realm. For example, if right now we all were able to walk into and step into the discerning of spirits right now, we'd see angels all over this building. Because the Bible says we all have a guardian angel, and it goes wherever we go. It's with us. We'd see Jesus. Why? The Bible says where two or three are gathered, he says, I'm in the midst. We'd see Jesus. Now, hopefully we wouldn't see any demons in here. I hope none of you brought any of those in here tonight. Don't be carrying any passengers with you. But that's what the discerning of spirits is, when the Holy Ghost, and what that is it's seeing and hearing, and sometimes even smelling. You hear a lot of times when people deal with demons and the smell that's out of them. It's like a smell they've never smelled before. But seeing and hearing into the spirit realm. We've had people that have heard into heaven. Pastor Michael was caught up and heard into heaven, and he talks about it sounding like a big pep rally was going on for Jesus. Well, that's God permitting someone. And the thing you have to understand about these gifts is they're as the Spirit wills. Nope. Someone can say they operate and they're used in the gifts of the Spirit in word of knowledge, word of wisdom. They can say they operate in that, but they can't say, well, I can just turn that on and off. I can just know the future anytime. I can just know supernatural things that I didn't know about someone's past or present. No. I could just see angels anytime I want. No, you can't. So when people say they have this gift, they're wrong. They don't have the gift. It only operates as the Spirit wills. Praise God. Amen? Are you with me now? I know this is a little bit teachy, but we're learning some things. Praise God. Now, so think about this. The prophet's office. I told you we have prophets coming in here. If that's true, then we should see in our services two of three of those gifts operate. Now, remember though, and we'll get to this towards the end, but remember this. Brother Hagin would go into churches carrying that prophet, that apostle anointing, the teaching anointing he had on his life. And he would carry that into a church after being in a meeting with churches, another church, and have 8 out of the 9 gifts of the Spirit in operation. I mean, that's a home run meeting right there. And he'd go to another church and he wouldn't have one operate. Well, he would be frustrated about that because you want the Spirit to operate. Like when I was praying in prayer, without you, Lord, and the anointing, what are we? We're nothing. We need you. And he'd pray, say, Lord, what's going on? 8 out of the 9 last meetings, is it me? As far as I know, I didn't change anything. I still fast and pray. I still seeking you, still in the Word, still contending for things. And the Lord said, it's not you, it's the people. So we have a part to play, which we'll get to at the end, okay? But if we do our part, the prophets do their part, God does his part, we're going to see some words of knowledge. We're going to see some words of wisdom. We may see and experience the discerning of spirits. All these things, the Bible says, the manifestation of the Spirit out of those 9 gifts are given that we would profit. That's why it's so important to be in the meetings. There's profit available. Amen? Hallelujah. So, with that being said, and the prophets are also given to visions and revelations. They have that operating in their life a lot. Number 3, if we go back to Matthew chapter 10 and verse 41, the Bible says what? That he that receives a prophet in the name of a prophet will receive the prophet's reward. Well, I'll make this simple for you. It's not hard. You want to know what the prophet's reward is? The prophet's reward is receiving the gifts that the prophets have to offer. It's that simple. Wow. Now, we want that prophet's reward. Why? It'll cause us to profit. Amen. We want the prophet's reward. But the Bible says just because a prophet comes into town doesn't mean that we'll receive the reward of the prophet, which I'm going to talk about my last point, which is next. But I want to talk about a few things the Lord led me. You know, I was just in my tree stand this morning. It's 75 stinking degrees outside. The deer aren't moving. They don't want to move around in that stuff. They're still just developing, you know. They're getting their winter coats. They get those winter coats on. They're like, Lord, did you miss it? Just like summer to me. What are you giving me this thing for? And so they just lay down, and Pastor Mike doesn't see anything. But it gives me a chance to pray and meditate and just be in the Word. And I had no idea what we were going to share tonight. And the Lord just started speaking to me. And so we're just following what he's saying. So this is the direction he wanted to go. I want to talk a little bit about the rewards that I've experienced. And to build your faith. Because you're going to start experiencing some rewards. But the number one thing you have to understand. And you'll miss it if you don't understand this fact about this office. Is, and this is the way Brother Hagin operated mostly. This is the way Reverend Greer operates mostly, is a lot of times we see, like when Amy was called up, and we think, wow, that is amazing, a word of knowledge. How'd Pastor Mike know that? He didn't. God gave it to him, and God blessed her, and she was helped. And we can say we've been a part of those things, and we like those things. That is not the majority of the way that the prophet's office is going to operate. Because why? First and foremost, the prophet is a teacher and preacher of the word. Now, why do I say that? Those things, words of wisdom, words of knowledge, different things, utterances and revelations and the prophecy that can come because the prophet can prophesy, the majority of that will come through the preaching and teaching of the Word. And if you're looking for the spectacular, of words, people being called up, thus saith the Lord, you could miss the prophet's office in demonstration. Amen? And the number one thing, as I look back at my life from 2002 when I started availing myself to these ministries, yeah, I had some highlights. Yeah, I had some moments that were milestones that you look back that really helped me. Just like all of you have and all of you will going forward. But the number one thing that blessed me and has helped me has been through the preaching and teaching of the word when the prophet stood up here and said things. You know, it's neat being on my side of the table because I know a lot of people's business. I don't mean that like I'm glad to be nosy and know that, but I'm saying there'll be times, because when the prophet comes in, I don't sit there and say, you know, now so-and-so is going through this, you should touch on that. So-and-so is going through this, you should touch on that. I don't say anything. We just talk in general because I don't want to muddy the waters and they don't want the waters to be muddied. We just want to have a move of God. And so it's so wonderful being in the seats and hearing the prophets start talking about things and hitting on topics. Boom, from there, and then they jump over to here. And they jump. And I'm sitting there, and maybe to the people that are there might think, do they not have an order? See, the prophet's office doesn't operate like the pastoral office where you have a beginning, a middle, and an ending. And sometimes we've gone off script as the Spirit of God's led, but that's not the way the prophet feeds or the pastor feeds. You're not going to find with the prophet's office a lot of times a beginning, a nice little intro, a middle, and an ending. It's going to be hoppity-hop to different things. And if you don't understand this, you'll think to yourself, are they disorganized? Do they not know what to say? We saw that in operation with Pastor Webb's ministry when he was just in town. He hit on some specific things that were specifically needed for the people. Why? Because the prophet's all of a sudden picking things up in his spirit or her spirit and sensing things and then saying them, and it's being a blessing to somebody in the church. So don't miss that. So don't think, well, I just can't wait to get to the ministry time. No. Understand that the preaching and the teaching, that's the way Brother Hagin's was. Most people didn't get private words from Brother Hagin, but they got their answers through what he said from the pulpit. And as a pastor, I love, my favorite gift to watch in manifestation, in the skill and the bullseye of it at times, is that prophet's office. Because as a pastor, I think, wow, Lord, how did you know? Or like, they didn't know to say that specific thing, but yet it was specific for somebody. Amen. Hallelujah. I remember when my friend Reverend Randy and Karini's dog died. Her name was Sable, but we called her Perp. And because Karini was from Brazil, and her accent, instead of saying puppy, she'd say perpy. And so we called her Perp. Making fun of her, basically. But she was okay with it. So as long as a person's okay with being made fun of, make fun of them. Right? You know, we had the dinner for Pastor Nancy Laketic the other night and that I had mentioned before. You know, we had a little time where ministers got up. Well, I got up and did my little bit, you know, but then Pastor Tim got up. But I made sure to tell him before, I'm like, just rip me. Rip me to shreds, you know? Those people that they get roasted. Man, I want to get, just roast me. Just go after me. Talk about how short I am. Talk about my gray hair. Talk about all the things you know in my past. Let them know. I'm okay with it. You can make fun of me. But if you're not okay with being made fun of, or that person, don't make fun of them. That's not nice. But she was okay. Perpy. And Sable had died. I believe it was that day, and Reverend Greer was in town. Well, Karini doesn't have Reverend Greer on speed dial. And he gets in there and he's preaching, and all of a sudden he goes off on a rabbit trail about pets and when pets die. And it's like, other people in the service will be thinking, what in the world does this have to do with bringing Jesus back and setting the world on fire? But to a child of God who just lost her beloved black lab, it meant the world and comforted her. God is so good. But that's what the prophet will do. All of a sudden, that wasn't in his notes. All of a sudden, get an inspiration and speak that. She wasn't called out, given a word of wisdom or not, but from that office. So be ready. Be ready. Amen? Amen. I want to talk to you about the other things that I've received because this is part of it as well. And that office. First, I want to just share about Dr. Dufresne, and then I want to share about the Durants because that's who's coming in. Praise God. That prophet's office brings such increase and such blessing to the body of Christ. I was in a meeting before I was pastoring this church in Canton, Ohio. And I went there with Pastor Tim Stallman. And Pastor Michael was there. And Pastor Michael, you know, he's seated like on the front. And we're not in ministry. We don't know Dr. Frame. We don't have any assigned seats. We're just sitting. And this church, if I remember right, had like 1,000 people. It's humongous. Word of Faith Church in Canton, Ohio. And there's just like 3 sections of just a massive amount of people. And we're in the section on the far, or no, we're in the middle section, seated on the far right of the middle section, but towards the back. And Dr. Dufresne's going into ministry, and he's just going around. And I would say maybe out of 1,000 people, maybe 10 people got specifically ministered to. But he came over to Pastor Tim and I. Doesn't know us from anybody. Now, we both know we're called. We believe we're called and headed towards the ministry. And he takes his hand and walks up behind us and slaps us both on the back of the head, and we fall out of the power of God and lay on the floor. And he points to us. He says, "Now, both of you, preach the word. Preach the word." The prophet's office, out of 1,000 people, picked out the 2 pastors. Amen. Isn't that amazing? That gift, that bullseye gift, praise God. We need the prophet's reward. It'll help you, praise God. I was in Canada going through a financial test. This was, there's been a lot of the financial tests, you know. It's amazing how the devil will test you in areas. But anyways, I was there, and this wasn't the one where Pastor Nancy preached the whole time. This, you know, because remember the night Dr. Dufresne says, anyone here, I don't remember the exact wording, but desperate, financially desperate or whatever, and me and another minister got up, and then the next day Pastor Nancy threw me under the bus really good, you know. just gave me a Holy Ghost spanking and preached right to me about renewing my mind. Remember that? That wasn't this time. So he doesn't know what's going on. And he stops preaching, and literally, this is the true story, he stops and he runs, and he tackles me and lays on me on the ground and starts prophesying about my current state of finances, which was bullseye after bullseye after bullseye, and telling me what's going to happen in the future. Amen. And guess what? Everything the man said came to pass. Didn't come to pass the next day. Didn't come past the next week. In fact, it was months and months that went by. But what he said came to pass, and that was an anchor in my heart. He knew nothing about my finances, naturally, but that prophet's office. Because they're seers. That's another thing. A prophet is they're a seer. The Lord reveals things to them. Hoo-wee. We're going to have them. We're going to have them, praise God. Now, I want to go, and I could tell you stories about Pastor Michael, prophet. Pastor Nancy stands in that prophet's office. Reverend Greer, Pastor Webb, they stand in that prophet's office. And I could tell you individual stories about through the pulpit ministry. They say something that's like, oh my gosh, that's what I needed, or a ministry. But I want to talk about the ones we're having in, the Durants. How many here, raise your hand if you have heard of the experience that I had. Don't raise your hand. If you haven't heard of it, raise your hand about my very first experience when I was tripped out of being in the first guest minister meeting. Hands were being laid on people. Tongues and interpretation was going forth. People were shouting, dancing, and it just really confused me. And the last night, before the night of the last service, I was crying out to God, and I got ministered to by Kevin Durant in the service. Who hasn't heard that story? A couple people haven't heard that story. So we got to tell it. I'll just make it real quick. And it'll bless you all too, because this is who's coming in here. And it was Pastor Mike's first experience with God, and it was the thing that hooked me to the supernatural. And you know what was cool about it, ladies and gentlemen? I wasn't a pastor. I wasn't a minister. And he didn't say anything to me about being a minister, because I know we get in our heads, well, Pastor Mike can be blessed because he's a pastor. No, you can be blessed because you're a child of God. Amen. Amen. You're qualified if you'll do the right thing. And you know, I was just, basically I'd gone to the first 2 or 3 meetings, tripped out in my mind, but I trusted my pastor. And so for a half hour to an hour in my, apartment on Water Street in Fredonia, I just cried out to God, "Lord, I want more of you. I want more of you." And I meant it. I was sincere. I want more of you, Father. If this is you and this is more of you, I want more of you. So the other night, I mean, if you ever heard Kevin Durant preach, man, he's one of my most entertaining ministers to watch. He is a fireball. Woo! He'll set you on fire even if you just came out of a swimming pool, man. He'll get you. And he stopped preaching in the middle of his sermon. And I'm sitting in the way back, you know, maybe 2/3 towards the back. And he points at me and he says, "You stand out in the aisle." To make a long story short, he said, "You want more of God, don't you?" Well, like I said, he either heard from heaven or he was a peeping Tom. One of the two. The only person I told I want more of God is God. And the only person I could have heard it would have been listening to the door. Well, we know he wasn't there. What was that? A word of knowledge. A word of knowledge that God gave him. I saw them. Now, I'm going to tell you a story. And I'm going to tell you a story for your benefit. But I will never mention people's names. Now, if you were there, you saw it, and you're most likely going to know who I'm talking about. But if you were there and you saw it, the love thing would be to do, never mention those people's names. I mean, don't go talking about it. Oh, I remember that was so-and-so. Don't even mention their names. That's not what love would do, because I'm not trying to spotlight the people. And for those of you that were not there in a part of this, because this was years ago, don't go searching for the names. And look for it. One's called gossip and one's called being a busybody. And that's just not what we're going to have allowed here in this church. Remember we talked about that on Sunday? We're going to be a love church. We're going to be a Jesus church. And so, yeah, the curiosity and the mind and the flesh, but, oh, I wonder who that was. Or, yeah, I remember who that was. Can you believe they did that? No, that's not the point of the story. I want to show you that prophet's office that's coming in here. So before I started this church, Pastor Michael had the Drants in Fredonia. And this was right before, I believe this was actually, well, he always had them in the spring, so it was April or May. And he's ministering, and again, he stops ministering. Now, in the church, maybe that building, there's 150 to 200 people in the guest minister service. They have all the extra chairs out, and it's full. You know, the Drants bring a big crowd for a reason. And that's why you got the insider tip. You're insiders now. You got the insider scoop. That's a little extra in your membership cost, but you're an insider now. Anyways, they get a big crowd, and I'm getting ready to start the church. I know it's on my heart, and it's May, and I'm getting ready to quit my job and things. And he comes over to me and starts prophesying to me about what's up ahead for me, knowing nothing. Pastor Mike said, I didn't tell him a word. And starts not only confirming things, but also telling me things that help me. Listen, when you start knowing the future, it does something for you. Now, why do I say that? There were two sets of people I got ministered to, me and another couple. And so I just consider them as one, you know. And he gets done ministering to me, and he's walking. I'm like, oh, we're getting ready to, this is going to go off the rails, you know, and get real good, you know. And he calls this couple out. And basically his words were, out of all the people in church, didn't know who these people were. He says, God's got something different for you. A promotion for him spiritually, and you could see them praising God, and he said, it's going to be a change for you and different for you, but if you'll obey, and he talked about the blessings for it. Well, when I heard that word, it was confirmed in my heart. I knew what that was. That couple had gone to Pastor Tim's church in Jamestown, but they lived in this area. And so they had known that we were starting this church. The prophet didn't know, but the people knew we were starting this church. And they were still going to be, Pastor Tim was their pastor, they were still going to go to Jamestown. But the Holy Ghost started dealing with them, because remember, the prophet's not going to say anything if he's hearing from God that doesn't already confirm in your heart. So they're smiling and praising God, because now they know they're getting confirmation. And the confirmation of that change and stepping up and different in the ministry and to be a help and a blessing and all those words, I knew it meant they're leaving Pastor Tim's church and they're coming to my church. That's the mind of, that's what God wants. That's the only way. You don't leave a church because you're offended and mad and you don't like it. You leave a church when God tells you, but he's going to tell you it's going to work out good and everybody is going to be on board. Amen? Now, I'm not talking about if you came out of a church that not preaching the word. You should leave a church that's not preaching the word. Don't misunderstand. You don't have to stay in that church and starve. God did not call you to starve. He called you to get fed. But I'm talking about you're getting fed and you're hearing from heaven and things are moving. Then someone rubs you the wrong way. I'm going to leave. Or I don't like what Pastor said. Nah, you're not hearing from heaven. And so I knew what that was. They knew what that was. And it was just amazing. Out of all the people in the room, the prophet picks out them and says, you're going to go help them. Well, the cool thing, Pastor Tim was in that, and Pastor Tim already knew by the Holy Ghost, their days are done at his church, and he's okay with it because he wants what God wants. So they called me the next day about it, and I said, yeah, that was quite the word, wasn't it? I said, God's got some things for us to do. I said, but we got to do this the right way, And you've got to talk to your pastor first. Well, they called Pastor Tim, and Pastor Tim said, I know why you're calling me. I already know this. Go help Pastor Mike and get this thing going. Remember, he said, if you'll be faithful to do this, you'll walk into increase. Well, they did. They left the church the right way. And they were a huge... Well, I'll just say this at the beginning, right when we first started in the summertime before we had our first service in September, they were the biggest help that I had. Amen. Helping me paint and get that thing ready and all the stuff, just do it. And the Lord told them, you're going to be used and be a blessing and you're going to walk in a blessing. Well, it was a Wednesday night service. This is a true story. I know Jeff was there. A Wednesday night service, I called that couple out to minister to them because the Holy Ghost said to minister to them. I didn't know what I was going to say. And all of a sudden, I saw something like I'd never seen before. All of a sudden, I saw it with my own eyes, not in my spirit, in my eyes. An open outward vision, dollar signs covering both of them, covering them. Well, that could be interpreted a lot of ways, but the word of knowledge came to me and told me what that was. I knew they were about to walk into some great, great increase. Amen. So I ministered to them and I started laughing. I said, you're not going to believe what I see. I see dollar signs over you and that means increase. When I said that, the wife bent down and started cracking up. And she's laughing at me. I thought, what are you laughing at? That's what I said to her. What are you laughing at? And she said, Pastor Mike. She said, when we came to this church and got faithful, she publicly testified this in the storefront. When we came to this church and started getting faithful, she said, we haven't been able to keep up with the blessings and the increase that's come in our life. And now you're telling us there's more on the way? And guess what happened? More came. Now, why am I telling you that story? Because the prophet's office spoke that out. A word of knowledge, help now, and a word of wisdom, what's going to happen in the future if you obey it, and it all came to pass. Now, unfortunately, for those of you that were there, you know who this was, so it's not like I'm saying anything, we're not going to say the names, and those of you who don't, it doesn't matter. They got offended and left the church. They did. Called to be here, got offended and left the church. In fact, it was the last time I saw them was a Wednesday night service over in the storefront. And the husband hugged me and told me, I love you, Pastor Mike. I'll see you Sunday. He must have meant this coming Sunday. Right? I mean, right, Vinny? He's got to mean that because if you love somebody and you tell them I'll see you Sunday, if you love them, you're going to see him Sunday. But I'm not going to think bad of him. I'm just assuming he's got to mean this Sunday. He didn't mean the 6-7 years of Sundays that have gone by. He meant this Sunday. This is where my sarcasm's coming out. He ain't coming back to see me. Ladies and gentlemen, do you know how many people do that to me? Do you know that they would hug me and love me? And this is across the board when people leave. Tell me how wonderful I am, how their lives change. Testify about obeying God, being under this anointing, and their lives change. And chew me up and spit me out like I'm nothing. Don't even say they're leaving the church. All the things I've done in private. Let me tell you something. If you're getting ready to leave a church and you're going to leave that way, you are listening to the devil. The things your pastor's done for you, and you're just going to disappear. People just disappear on me all the time. It's like, wait a second. That's not love. And you kept telling me I love you. Thank you, Pastor Mike. You've done so much for me. Chew you up and spit you out. But that wasn't him because it's this Sunday. I know it's got to be this Sunday. Bible says, think the best of everybody. It must be this Sunday. But the increase that they walked into was prophesied by the prophet. Praise God. Amen. Do you see that? Hallelujah. Now, let me tell you about one more thing, and then we'll get ready to close the service. This was when we moved into the new building. Praise God. I'm just messing with something here. One second. Okay. And what the old sanctuary is now, and they were in that service. And there was a young lady, again, if you know her, who cares? Don't say her name. Doesn't need to be said. If you don't know her, don't. That's not what we're trying to expose here. The wrong spirit would be if I told you their names. That's not what we're going to be about around here. But I want you to see the skill of the prophet's office and what's ready for us. And there was a young girl in that service. And her family had received from Pastor Mike in the ministry. But Pastor Mike preaches the Bible, and a lot of times people get offended at the word because The Word causes you to take a look in the mirror. The Word puts you on trial. And a lot of times people don't like to keep hearing the Word over and over and being convicted over and over. Now, the lover of the Word wants to hear the Word. The person that doesn't love the Word wants to get out from underneath the Word. Oh, yeah, that's such deception of the devil. You don't even know it. And that was her. And I knew it. And there had been some talking that I had found out about between her and a family member. And they're about getting ready to leave the church after all they'd received. And so this girl shows up. She had already left. Her sibling, family member, was still in the church. She had beat feet and gone. I hadn't seen her in weeks. And she showed up, wouldn't you know, at that meeting. I thought, man, it's wonderful to see. I loved on her, hugged her. I mean, oh, she's thinking bad thoughts about me, but I still love her. I'm telling you. And Sister Annie starts prophesying. And the word of knowledge is coming through her. And she starts saying, yeah, there's somebody. You're tempted to leave this church. Worst mistake you'll ever make. And she started prophesying some things. And I knew who she's talking about. And I didn't want to just turn around and look at the person. But the where I was sitting and where she was sitting, I could look without. And this person wasn't letting on to anything. Sitting there stone-faced. They don't want them to know they're talking about me. You know, just sitting there. And Sister Annie stops talking. She turns her microphone off. And she goes over to this girl and gets down on one knee right in front of her face and starts talking to her about the mistake she's about to make and the downfall and the pitfalls and that God loves her and this is the place. And the girl sitting there knows she's heard from heaven, and the tears started flowing in that service. Now, unfortunately, the deception was so strong that it should have been the turning point in that person's life, but they were gone like the wind. But God tried. God tried. It happened. All the people in there, nobody's saying, oh, it's me. And Sister Annie goes, you know how much you have to be skillful with the anointing in front of a whole church to go bend down and get on a knee in front of the one person who's offended and ready to leave and know that's God? That's what's coming here. I know you're all scared about what you're doing in private now. No, God's never trying to hurt. What was God trying to do? Help her. Help her. And I know some things about these people and things. And you know, I don't get into it all, but it breaks my heart is what it does. There's so much more. Amen? So, with that being said, let's go to the last point that I have. How then do we receive this prophet's reward? We know there's a reward in their lives. There's things on their lives that I've explained to you, that we've shown in the Word, that will benefit us, that will help us, that will change our lives. How then do we receive it? Because remember, Brother Hagin carried that mantle, carried that anointing, but there were people that he ministered to, and they didn't get it. And God didn't say, Brother Hagin, it's your fault. And God didn't say, I just decided not to work today. God's always wanting to work. He said, it's the people's fault. Well, go with me in a couple of scriptures, 1 Samuel 2 and verse 30. 1 Samuel 2 and verse 30. Amen. Is this getting you amped up or what? Yeah. Pastor Mike knows how to have a pep rally. Man, I'll tell you what. That's one thing he can do. 1 Samuel 2 and verse 30. I mean it. We better get here early because I'm just telling you, people are going to be hungry. People are going to be hungry. Now, let me say this, though, to help people. Because if you absolutely can't be here early and to get here, like I said in that text, you know, around 6 o'clock, that's when I'd be here. I might even come sooner, you know, just to be in the parking lot waiting in line. I don't know. How hungry are you? And I'm not saying it's going to be packed out in the overflow. You know, we've always been able to fit people in here. But the ministry's growing. Our own church is growing. Yeah. Allegheny's growing. And I fired them up last night about the meetings. Yeah. I basically left them saying, listen, an hour drive ain't no excuse. Right. Jesus has holes in his hands. Yeah. Don't talk to me about an hour drive. Amen. When I do this, it means I'm proud of myself. I just said something I'm really happy with. Praise God. So now you know. When he does that, what a pride bag. He's really happy with himself. I guess it's not all the time. Just kind of makes a point across. But anyways, if you have to be here and you come late, and say you walk in and it's filled and you have to sit out there, and it wasn't because you were lazy, it wasn't because you were just apathetic or casual, you sit out there with hunger. The anointing can go through doors. And God will get what you need. And that's a great opportunity to say, Lord, I just absolutely can't. I can't get off work. They will not let me. I cannot be here till 5 minutes of seven. And there's a chance I won't get a seat in the sanctuary. So what? You think the anointing is, the double doors are going to stop the anointing? No. Just have the right attitude. Amen? Amen. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Praise God. Pastor, just helping you here tonight. 1 Samuel 2 and verse 30. Wherefore the Lord God of Israel saith, I said indeed that thy house and the house of thy father should walk before me forever, but now the Lord saith, be it far from me, for them that honor me, I will honor. They that despise me shall be lightly esteemed. God gave gifts to men with anointings and mantles, and how are we going to treat that gift? Are we going to have great honor, respect, and highly esteem them, or is it just, I don't even need to go, or if I do go, There are people that made the effort to go to Brother Hagin's services, but they didn't come with honor, expectation, high esteem, and they were there. They made the effort to make the drive and to come, and they walked out with a lesser meeting than the people at the other church had. Showing up is not just, got to show up the right way. Now go with me to Mark 6. I promise you we're almost done here. Praise the Lord. Mark 6 and verse 1. So he said, if you honor me, I'll honor you. And these are gifts from God. How do we honor them? We want to get the honor of God. We want to get that reward. Mark chapter 6 and verse 1. And he went out from there, came into his own country. His disciples followed him. And when the Sabbath day was come, he began to teach in the synagogue. Many hearing him. Now how many of you know, Jesus stood in all the offices. He was all five of them. He was a shepherd, he was an apostle, he was a prophet, he was a teacher, he stood in them all. He had the Spirit of God without measure. Amen. 2. The Sabbath day was come, he began to teach in the synagogues. Many hearing were astonished, saying, where does this man have these things, and what wisdom is that which is given unto him, that such mighty works are wrought by his hands? They're saying, we're hearing all the stories, and we're getting the reports, but who is he? And they said, we know who he is. This is just the carpenter, verse 3. How can the carpenter do this stuff? Oh, they just saw him as the carpenter. This is just the son of Mary. We've been around him since he's a little boy. The brother of James, Joseph, Judah, and Simon. And his sisters are here with us. Nothing special about any of them. And they were offended at him. And look what Jesus said. A prophet is not without honor, except in his own country among his own kin. But what I want you to see here is Jesus said they had a problem with honor. What did they do? They lightly esteemed who he was and what he was. Well, the word says, if you honor me, I'll honor you. If you lightly esteem me, you're not going to get it. Well, in Mark chapter 5 and Mark chapter 4, where he went, they had great honor, respect, expectation, and they received the reward that was on his life. But here in Mark chapter 6, we see they had no honor for him. He's just the carpenter. We know his family. Nothing special about them. And guess what happened? Nothing happened. Spectacular. And he there, verse 5, could do no mighty work except lay his hands upon a few sick folk and heal them. There were mighty works to be done, but why didn't mighty works happen? When you have 8 out of 9 gifts of the Spirit operating inside of your meetings, those are mighty works. And then you go to another set of meetings and not, you don't even get one? And what did the Lord say? It's the people. So what are we trying to do? Ramp up your expectation. Because whether or not we see the move of God from the Durants in our lives is not dependent upon Jesus. And it's not dependent upon them. I'm telling you, they're coming ready. It's dependent on all of you. What's your attitude? Well, and we'll close with this verse, Matthew 5 and verse 6. And I'll tell you exactly what it looks like and what you should do. Matthew 5 and verse 6. Blessed are they which hunger and thirst after righteousness. What's righteousness? God's way of doing being right. God's rightness. The things of God are righteousness. These meetings are righteousness. For they'll be filled. Well, I'll just start with what I started with last night, and then I'll go even to the ones that show up, because first of all, I got to get you here. And I didn't hold up on a church that has to drive an hour away. I mean, if you listened to that service last night, you were in that service, I didn't hold up. Why? Somebody's got to pull people up higher. We only get a few shots at these ministers a whole year. We do. And you know what? And I'll use their example, and it's even lesser for you because you have a less of a drive. If the Galleria Mall all of a sudden told you, show up tonight from the hours of, well, we start at 7, service probably over about 9, 9:30. Show up from 7 to 9:30. We got a $500 gift card for you for free. Oh, you know where you'd go at 7 o'clock? Say, that's not worth the drive. Oh, you'd be driving there. I'm not saying in place of a meeting, but if someone calls me and says, drive an hour for free $500 to shop, I'm going. Wouldn't you go? Yeah, free money. Here you go. Free shopping spree. It's yours. Go. You wouldn't say, well, I don't know if I want to drive that hour. Well, it's 7 o'clock at night. I get home at night and I'll be tired the next day. And I'll just leave that $500 there. But why would people go? Revelation. I use this example. If you had, because he says hunger and thirst will be filled. If you haven't eaten in a week, go a day without eating, see what it does to you. Go 2 days without eating, see how hungry you get. Imagine going a week, you don't have food, and they say to you, there's no food around, but someone calls you and says, hey, an hour away at 7 o'clock, we have an all-you-can-eat buffet, and you haven't eaten for a week, you know what you're going to do? Get in your car and drive an hour. And you're going to take the time to stay there late and fill up. Why? Because you're hungry. But the Lord says we have to hunger and thirst after His things. The prophet's office and these gifts of our lives are His things. So what that you might have to stay up a little later? Holes in His hands. Nails in His feet. Scars on His head. Who can, so what that maybe you have to miss your TV show? Or maybe you have to pay a little bit of extra gas money to be here. Do you want the move of God or don't you in your life? Some people are so apathetic and casual that you can't even get them in the building. And they don't know what they're missing. And hear God. They have more revelation on money and food than they do coming out to a meeting that God's put in their midst. And I'll say it again. There will be people that will hear me say this stuff that will go through these meetings and not get a lick from them because they never showed up. And then there will be people that are hearing my voice right now that will walk out of here different. And you'll have your own testimonies like Pastor Mike does. It's just what happened. It's just what happened. He said hunger and thirst after righteousness. Now, that's getting in the building. But just because you're in the building doesn't mean a move of God. So what you need to be doing from now until then, remember I sent that slick text out to you on Monday about be believing, be confessing. What am I saying? Get your faith going. That's why I've been announcing these for over a month. Get you expecting your faith up. Why? God moves where there's hunger. God's not obligated because you show up. God's obligated to fill and bless the hungry people. So what does that look like from now until then? When you think about it, Father, I thank you. The Durants are coming in. I thank you. The gifts of God are going to be in operation. I thank you. The church is going to receive. And Father, I thank you. I'm going to get something. I'm going to get something. Praise God. Now, I'll say this because I do like to be balanced. If there, you absolutely can't be here, let me tell you something. Laziness doesn't qualify. Apathy, casualness, don't feel like it. That's not reasons that Jesus is going to say, okay. He does understand you have a things come up at times or situations, and you absolutely can't be here. But most people aren't coming to special meetings and to church because they absolutely can't be here. It's because they absolutely won't work to be here. And you should listen to my message I preached last night, how bold I was. And we looked at the people in the Word that when they got something from God, they had to be inconvenienced. They had to step out of their comfort zone. They had to go against their feelings. They had to work to get it. What's it called? They were hungry. Multitudes thronged Jesus, and one got something. The woman with the issue of blood. Everybody was touching him. Everybody that touched him needed something. But only one got it. And we look at her life. She was hungry. She was willing to be inconvenienced. She was willing to press through. She was willing to step out of her comfort zone. If you always do what you've always done, you'll always get what you always got. And the people that never come out to these things are going to stay in the same flow of life. But if you'll do something different and just trust your stinking little short pastor up here, you're welcome, Jim Walker. I did it for you. If you'll just trust me, do something different, you'll get something different. Amen. And you'll look back and say, he knew what he was talking about. Lord, yeah. Amen. Let's stand to our feet and just worship him tonight. I know it's a little later, but that's okay. We got to get used to later. We got a Sunday night later, a Monday night later, and a Tuesday night later. But it's worth it. Father, we're hungry for you. Father, we won't be satisfied with the status quo. We want the full manifestation of the prophetic, the evangelist office that Sister Annie sends in, the teaching office that they stand in. We want the full manifestation of it. We don't want less than other churches. We don't want the same as other churches. We want more. And we're hungry. And we're hungry, and we'll come early, and we'll believe, and we'll pray, and we'll confess, and we'll come in with such a state of expectation. Father, we're going to have you working overtime. Starting Saturday night at 6 o'clock, Father, just be ready to work overtime. Because you'll go where hunger takes you, and we're going to take you some places. So, Father, we thank you for the change. We thank you for what's about to take place in our midst. We love you and praise you. We give you all the glory. In Jesus' name, everybody said, amen. We will see you whenever the next day is. Saturday. We'll see you Saturday. You're dismissed. Praise God.
Put him under your feet. us one more chance to put him under. Come on, say it with me.
Say, put him under your feet.
Come on, do it. Are you getting a witness out there? Come on.
Put him under your feet. Put him.
Keep it right there. Keep it right there. Put him under.
Put him under your feet. Put him under your feet. Put him under your feet.
Are we going to go parts?
Put him under. Put him under. Put him under your feet. Put him under your feet. Put him under your feet.
We worship you.